Okay, this is a pep talk podcast about antibiotics. What are natural solutions and alternatives to antibiotics? And I'm going to talk a little bit about antibiotic resistant bacteria that kills 5 million people per year because of overprescription of antibiotics. In 3, 2, 1, let's get her done. Hey, everybody, welcome to Pep Talk, the podcast that gives you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. We're here to take all these complex, crazy health and wellness and medical things that you hear in the world today. We make them simple, easy, and digestible so that you can understand it and take action on it to improve your health and the health and the quality of your loved ones in your community. Hey guys, I'm Dr. Eric Napudi. I'm your host on this journey today on Pep Talk. We're going to be talking about some very interesting conversations about antibiotics. We're going to be talking about natural solutions, alternatives, and the fact that 5 million people are dying annually from antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So let's get into this conversation. How many of you have ever gone to the doctor, had a sniffle, a cold, a flu, or goo coming out of orifices of your body, and the first thing they prescribed is an antibiotic? Did you know that that's not always the best solution? In fact, a lot of times that's doing more harm than good. So listen, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that are alive today because of the antibiotics that they have taken in the past. The problem is the overprescription and overutilization of antibiotics has led to multiple problems. Number one, it's led to, well, antibiotic-resistant bacteria that now, according to the World Health Organization, some 5 million people globally are dying because these bacteria have adapted to the fact that they're used to the antibiotics that we have given them, and there are no antibiotics that we can destroy them with. The other thing that happens is when you are taking antibiotics on a regular basis, it causes your gut bacteria to get out of balance. We get a condition called dysbiosis, dysbacteriosis, or leaky gut syndrome. That's when the antibiotics you take kill off all the good bugs, and the bad bugs overtake the system. We get excess candida, excess yeast, parasites, and that leads to a whole slew of problems. Our body is supposed to have a balance in the microbiome and not an imbalance. And that's what happens when you utilize antibiotics. The reality of it is that antibiotics can lead to other issues as well. When you are taking antibiotics, many of you probably have experienced weight gain. Many of you have probably experienced fatigue. Many of you have probably experienced mood altering situations where, man, you started taking this antibiotic and next thing you know, you just don't feel good emotionally. I just had a friend of mine that I was with last weekend. We were at an event in California and he was telling me about his wife, and his wife had a systemic infection and they were giving her IV antibiotics to use at home on a weekly basis. He said after 3 weeks of the antibiotics, man, she completely changed. She looked different. She's feeling different. She's sleeping different. And her emotions were problematic, literally to the point where she just wasn't herself, right? And the reason why she wasn't herself was because when she took the antibiotics, it destroyed the normal bacteria in the gut. And that normal bacteria is responsible for making the neurotransmitters in the body. Neurotransmitters are chemicals that are made in the GI tract. In fact, 90% of the neurotransmitters are made in the GI tract, and they travel up the vagus nerve into the brain, and they tell the brain to be happy, to be healthy, to be balanced, to be satisfied, etc. And when we have an imbalance in things like noradrenaline, dopamine, serotonin, those neurotransmitters get problematic. Well, what happens is we start to have problems with that. Obesity and overweight can happen because there are supposed to be normal bacteria in the GI tract that allow our body to burn fat as fuel, to convert food into usable vitamins and enzymes. And if we don't have that normal bacteria in our gut that can definitely be destroyed by antibiotics, well, we're going to store toxins and store fat in our body versus burning it. So there's so many things that antibiotics can be problematic with. Now, I'm not saying that you should never use them. There's a time and a place for them, but I'm always of the fact that why don't we try to do some things from a natural standpoint first before we start doing some other problematic things. Like, look, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the fact that 5 million people are dying a year from drug-resistant, antibiotic-resistant infections. You know, we live in a microbe-rich environment. Like, there's normally supposed to be bacteria on your food, in your food. There's supposed to be bacteria in your body, on your body. You can't get rid of it. You don't want to get rid of it. We live symbiotically with that stuff. Some of the only ways for us to get the good, healthy bacteria in our body that we need is to ingest it from food or to get it from the soil that we're working in and playing in and living in every day. So when you're constantly washing your hands and, you know, over cleaning your foods and over sanitizing and hand sanitizing, that really leads to an immune system weakening. But here's what we're seeing. So microbes are tiny organisms that are largely invisible to the naked eye. I'm sure you know that. Bacteria, fungi, viruses, et cetera, are all different types of microbes. And most of them are harmless. However, they can cause infections and they can make us ill. Lots of these infections are self-limiting. They go away on their own without any intervention. But unfortunately, more and more of these now are not going away on their own. Our bodies are not adapting to fighting these off. Our immune systems are getting weaker as a society because we're eating worse, we're stressing more, we're not moving as much, and we have so many toxins in our environment and in our food and in our water and in our air. I mean, it's literally killing us from a cellular standpoint. But a lot of these infections, now, unfortunately, they're not responding to antibiotics that were normally given to them. Drugs are never guaranteed to work, by the way, and microbes are now adapting and learning to defend themselves against antimicrobials and antibacterial medications, antibiotics, and et cetera. Many of you have heard of things like, MRSA and other superbugs that are out there. Well, the overprescription of antibiotics has led to this. Global antibiotic consumption has increased, listen to this, by almost half between 2000 and 2018. Literally, it's almost doubled. I mean, that is absolutely insane because doctors' first line of defense, if you have a cold, a sniffle, even if you have a virus, which antibiotics don't fix viruses, right? Doctors say, I'm giving you a preventative antibiotic. Are you kidding me? That antibiotic is destroying my immune system. It's destroying my gut bacteria. My brain can't work like it's supposed to. What are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. Stop going to these practitioners. You've got to realize that it's your health and you've got to take care of it. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you can do. By the way, before we do that, how big of an issue is this? This is a huge issue. Drug-resistant infections are the leading killer worldwide, claiming almost 5 million lives per year. According to most recent figures, that's more lives lost to HIV and malaria combined, okay? And by the way, it's the poorest and most vulnerable people that face the greatest risk. And part of it is because lack of resources, but lack of education of what they should and should not do. I mean, people say, well, can't we just make more antibiotics? Well, it takes about 10 to 15 years and about $1 billion to develop antibiotics. But the reality of it is there are natural solutions that we can do. We got to stop prescribing these antibiotics so dang much. And here's what we can do. So write these down. Remember these. These are top solutions that I recommend for people to help with natural antibiotic properties in the body. Number one, garlic. Garlic has an active chemical compound in it, and studies have researched shown that garlic as an antibiotic and an antiviral, by the way, and an antifungal, by the way, studies indicate that garlic can inhibit the growth of various bacteria, including E. coli and staph. Different types of other bacterias. This has been proven in the Journal of Antimicrobial Chemotherapy Journal. Highlighted garlic's potential ability to reduce risk factors associated with infections. So garlic, raw garlic. My wife always says, Eric, I love you, man, but you smell like garlic all the time. Well, you know what? I'm not getting infections and the vampires aren't going to get me either. And so the reality of it is that I personally put garlic on my food, both to at least one or two of my meals per day. I'm getting a good health being a natural organic garlic. You can also supplement it with essential oils, or you can get garlic pill supplements as well that are beneficial. I take them on a regular basis. And if I feel like I'm coming under the weather, I'm loading up 2, 3, 4 times a day for 24 to 48 hours with excess garlic. And you'll be blown away by how fast that can help you. That's number one. Number two, honey. Local honey, local organic honey that has local flora and fauna in it is one of the best, not only antibacterial treatments that you can have, but it's also antihistamine. It can lower the risk of allergies, but it's got to be local to your region. If you can't get good honey local to your region, go get something called Manuka honey. Studies have shown that Manuka honey has MGO in it, which is an active compound that has antibacterial properties. This is including those that are resistant to antibiotics. Okay. In a study from the Asian Pacific Journal of Tropical Biomedicine shows that it also can help with wound healing and infections. Yes, folks, there are people that take Manuka honey and put it on open wounds, and it helps expedite the healing and it lowers the infection rate. So honey is a big one. Okay. Number three, ginger. I'm a huge fan of ginger. Ginger has active chemical components in it that have been studied that are known as antibacterial, anti-inflammatory properties. Studies have also shown its effectiveness in inhibiting oral pathogens. So when you get infections in the mouth, in underneath the gums, the mouth of a human is one of the dirtiest, you know, places on the planet. Did you know that human bites have more bacteria and are dirtier than like pig bites? Literally pigs that live in, you know, pig poop and manure have cleaner bites than humans do. We have all this bacteria in our mouth that leads to cavities and heart issues and all kinds of problems. Studies have shown that ginger can help with that. In a study from Molecular Nutrition and Food Research found that it inhibits pathogens of respiratory infections as well. So I like fresh ginger, powdered ginger, or ginger extracts. A lot of times I'll take a little bit of ginger or ginger tea, and I'll put a little turmeric in it, squeeze of lemon, a little bit of Manuka honey, shoot that down. Phenomenal, phenomenal. And when you're not feeling well, doing those a couple of times a day when it's warm, like warm fluids, so good. Echinacea. Echinacea is an herb that has active compounds in it that have been researched as immune boosting, and studies like the one in the Journal of Pharmacology suggests and shows that that it reduces the severity and duration of respiratory infections and colds. So you can take echinacea tea on a regular basis, but when you start to feel a little bit under the weather, that's something that can really boost you up and pep you up. Turmeric is another big one, or curcumin. Curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric. Studies have shown that it's strong anti-inflammatory properties and antimicrobial properties. Research highlighted curcumin's ability to inhibit growth of certain bacteria, such as Helo black bacteria, H. pylori. That's where a lot of ulcers come from. And that's in the Journal of Clinical Immunology. Oregano oil. This one I'm going to tell you is a game changer for infections and antimicrobials. Oregano oil has been shown to have antibacterial effects against Staphylococcus, Salmonella, and other common bugs that cause flus, colds, and stomach problems. And this is in the Journal of Applied Microbiology. The oil constitute the oil that oregano is in, which a lot of times what I'll do is I'll take oregano oil, put 4 or 5 drops in water and drink it down. It's warm. It might burn a little bit. You put a squeeze of lemon to offset that. But if you take some of the oregano oil and put it into actual gel caps, and people can swallow them that way, it's a lot more palatable. But there has been multiple studies that have shown that oregano oil actually has better antimicrobial properties than most antibiotics that are on the market. Another thing that I would suggest you do is have a very strong probiotic. When you have good probiotics in the body, you have a strong microbiome. 90% of your immune system comes from your microbiome. And I've done so many pep talk podcasts on microbiome benefits. Taking good prebiotic, eating lots of good healthy vegetable fiber, having a master microbiotic that is a spore-based microbe that can absorb through the stomach acid into the intestine to improve the quality of the bacteria in your gut, and having good post bacteria, which are things like short chain fatty acids like ghee butter, coconut oil, MCT oil, very beneficial for the gut. Eating fermented foods, having kimchi, kombucha, taking vitamin D. Vitamin D is one of the most powerful things for your body, the antimicrobial, antibacterial functions of it. It also feeds the gut. That's another big one is vitamin D3, not D2, D3. D3 is about 60 times more absorbable than D2. Taking about 10,000 IUs a day. When you don't feel well, 20 to 30,000 IUs a day for 3 to 5 to 7 days is very beneficial. Liposomal vitamin C is also very beneficial. Taking about 3,000 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day, or learning how to do the Linus Pauling dosages, which you can go look up Linus Pauling dosing for bowel tolerance for vitamin C. Zinc, a chelated form of zinc, is one of my favorites. It's a massive immune system regulator. On a regular basis, about 25 to 50 milligrams a day of zinc is very beneficial. When you don't feel well, I usually bump it up to 100 to 150 milligrams a day of zinc. If you take zinc, by the way, and it upsets your stomach, it's the wrong kind of zinc for you. Doing a genetic profile test can show you the best kinds of zinc that you should take, foods you can eat that can improve that. The last thing I'll tell you about is hydrolyzed silver. Argentine is the protein that comes out of silver, the mineral. And silver has massive antimicrobial, antiparasitic, anti-candida, antifungal properties. And it does not destroy the healthy bacteria in the body. It's one of the most powerful natural antibiotics on the planet. But it has to be hydrolyzed silver. I like colloidal silvers as well, but they have to be nano-sized. And it's the size and the shape of the silver that's really important. So those are things that people can do to really help improve the quality and function of their health, help their immune system, and really help from a natural standpoint from, you know, if you're dealing with an infection of some type. So start with that. There are many other things you can do, but start with that. Look, I know that's a lot of information. I want you to go back and re-listen to this, share it with your friends and family, take notes on these podcasts. There's a lot of action steps, a lot of information I give you in these quick hits like this. And make sure you guys go to our website. That's peptalk.world, peptalk.world. Go to the website, check us out, like, subscribe, share. Share all the information that we have with your friends and family. Check out all of our social media platforms as well. Tag us in social media when you're doing some of the cool things we've got going on. Reset your body, reset your metabolism. And remember, knowledge is power, but wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it to your life. So folks, until we meet again, I'm Dr. Eric Napudi. God bless you. God bless America, and God bless the world. Stay smart out there, folks, and I'll see you soon. Be well.